Good evening. I'm very happy to be with you here in Boa Park for the Siyum Masechet, Baruch Hashem. Ken Yirbu. There are people in the world that do Siyum Masechet every day. You learn. Not long Masechtot. Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul every Friday used to finish Masechet from the morning until Shabbos. Finish. Perhaps other ones, but since you finish Masechet Yoma, Sukkah, you finish Sukkah, oh, okay. So, I would say a few things. I wasn't sure which Masechet you did the Siyum. In my mind, it was Yoma. I'll say anyway something from Yoma. So, the Gemara said that Bet HaMikdash was destroyed for Sinat Chinam. And you know, the comparison between Gilui Arayot, Shfichut Damim, and Avodah Zara, it was rebuilt. But in Sinat Chinam, 2,000 years, and it wasn't rebuilt. We know in Pirkei Avos, it says something very interesting. Kol ha'ava tluya badavar, batel ha'davar, betela ha'ava. Every love that we have to something. If it's materialistic kind of love, which means there's something that connects us to this thing, some kind of a desire, once that something disappeared, the connection disappeared, because the glue that's connected between us to that individual or to that person or to a material thing, once it's gone, that's it. There's no more connection. The same thing applies when it comes to Sina. Ahava tluya badavar, batel adavar, betela ahava. Sina tluya badavar, batel adavar, betela sina. You hate someone. Why you hate me so much? I heard you spoke Lashon Hara about me. You're ruining my reputation. Me? Who told you that? I heard you went to that place and you say this and this. I wasn't even there that day. 2 minutes, you clarify it, it's a mistake. You hate him for 2, 3, 5, 10 years, whatever, for nothing. You just found out he wasn't even there. What happened from that moment? Not only you don't hate him anymore, you feel so embarrassed, you love him even more than natural. Why? Batel ha'davar, batel ha'asina. No reason to hate him. The problem is, why? When it comes to Sinat Chinam, we have a very serious problem. Because Sinat Chinam means that there's no really a reason why you hate that person. There's no really reason. No reason. What's the reason? Nothing whatsoever. Of course, you have your own reasons. But according to life, to reality, to the Torah, there's really no reason whatsoever. You don't like him because the way he speak. You don't like him because the way he look. You don't like him because he was born in a country different than yours. You don't like him because he went to a different yeshiva than yours and there was, I don't know, some kind of competition. You don't like him, sometimes the reasons are so silly that you don't know if to laugh or to cry. Most of the problems that people have between them, if you really analyze it, it's mamash, very, very foolish. So what happened? Because it's Sinat Chinam, it doesn't have what to hold to, there is nothing to be ever dismissed. That something doesn't exist, so it will never be canceled. If there is a real reason, this person stole money from you, he spoke Lashon Hara about you, he hit you, he did something, there's a reason who created that Sina. When that something is overcome, there's no more Sina naturally. You don't have to do anything anymore. After that, it's beautiful friendship. But if nothing ever made the Sina, and something in your head is ignorance, is lack of education, I'm talking Torah education, or something that your parents maybe put in your head and it was a mistake, or sometimes even something that you learned from your Rebbe and it's not correct. And it happens in the history. Sometimes you get the information and later on you find out, hey, it's not what Hashem wants. So I want to tell you something. We all know that Ahav wasn't exactly the most righteous king. But Chazal teaching us that when he went to the war, he always won the war. Him and his soldier were not tzaddikim. Usually when people that are wicked, they go to the war, it's almost a guarantee to die in a war. This is why they scream, "Mi ha'ish ha'yare, ha'rach levav, ha'yare." He's afraid to go to the war, we'll go back to his home. Why? Because maybe he made averot, he made sins, he know. Hashem knows who I am. I mean, I can put a show here on the street, but in front of Hashem, he knows who exactly who I am. As soon as I go to the war, right away I die. So what's the point? So I'll make an excuse. Well, I have a vineyard. I just plant the seeds. I have to take care of my vineyards. I'm about to get married. Please don't ruin my future. Make an excuse. What is he going to say? I'm a Rasha? But the idea is, Achav and his soldiers were winning. Why? Because they had achdus between them. We see even in Migdal Bavel, they go to fight against Hashem. Where in history we'll find that people comes to fight clearly against Hashem, not in a rotten ideology that it's hidden in nice words or things that are happening in our days. In a clear war, we come, we want to fight against Hashem. This is it, it's not hiding it. They make a tower, such a chilul Hashem. People, even a goyim, if the goyim will make a tower today, they say, "Why are you making a tower? We want to go and fight against God." Even in their ideologies, it's a big sin. You do it in a Muslim country, you won't put two bricks in a tower, your head will be chopped off. You do it by some serious Christian religious areas, same thing they'll do to you. I just came from Mexico. And I always say, it's very interesting, when I travel in the world, places that it's very wealthy, there's less religion. Places that it's lots of poverty, there's a lot of religion. Almost everyone is religion. Should have been the other way around. Should have been, technically, the way people think. People that are poor say, God doesn't love me. What did he do for me? That's the way people may have thought. So why should I be so faithful to him? Did he give me a place to live? No. He gives me good food? No. Can I put my kids in public, in a private school? No. He has this. He has a reason to be religious. I have nothing. I have no reason to be religious. But it's the other way around. The people that have everything, most of the time, there's always an exception to the rule, they live okay. I manage. And the people who have nothing, all of a sudden, you see that they're very devoted. And not only by the Jews. You go to Mexico, you go to the small villages over there, every corner they have a Bet Avodah Zara over there. They go with the Muslims, same thing. But you go to the big cities where all the business is, you don't feel the religion. It's not as much. So the idea is, this is one thing that I wanted to clarify today. Today, one of the main problems in our generation today, that almost everything is chitzoni. Chitzoni means external. It's all a beautiful show. Big, fake show. What does it mean? You have thousands who look, each one of them like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I don't even know if Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai today lived, he looked like some of the Jews the way they look, with the way they daven and the way they do things. But if you check them, this is, I had in my mind to speak about Yoma. One of the things I like in that Masecher is Talmid Chacham She'en Tocho Kevaro Eno Talmid Chacham. So the question is, if someone is a Talmid Chacham, he finishes Poskim, Kabbalah, Zohar, Rambam, Rishonim, everything is a Talmid Chacham. What? You want to say he's not a Tzaddik? Say he's not a Tzaddik. What do you say he's not a Talmid Chacham? Changing reality? It's a Talmid Chacham. I learned 10, 20 years Torah, 15, 16 hours a day. Became a Talmid Chacham. So you should say, Talmid Chacham, that is not behaving according to the Torah, to the Halacha, his midos and this. So he's not a tzaddik. There's something like this. Talmid Chacham is not a tzaddik. Sometimes a tzaddik is not a Talmid Chacham. It's big Yiresh Hamayim, very big Yiresh Hamayim. It can be a woman. She never learned Shas. She's a very big tzaddiket. You know the story of Maharil Midiskin, that he one time happened to be where his aunt, she was in a hospital in the old days, not hospitals like today, you come, everything nice, clean, equipment. The old days hospital, there was nothing there. The nurse came once every other week to change the bag of all her bathroom because she couldn't move from her bed. So she cleaned the once every 2 weeks. Therefore, the rest of the 2 weeks that following, it's horrible smell in the room. She cannot go to the bathroom. The bathroom is right next to her bed. So he walked into the room, he almost fainted from the smell. So he said, wow, who could live in such a room like this? So what can he do? He already came to visit. No. So his aunt said to him, before you leave, give me a bracha that I should live long life. He couldn't hold himself. He said to her, hey, I don't understand. Anyone in your situation would pray to Hashem, when can you take me already from here? Now you're asking me to give you a bracha, assume my bracha would work. And really, thanks to my bracha, you're going to live an extra 5-10 more years. This is not a bracha, this is a klala, a curse. Why should I give you a bracha to live long life? If any, I should pray that Baruch Hashem, Hashem will take you to Gan Eden already. Better than this lousy room. And by the way, there is halacha, that a person that suffers like this, you're allowed to daven to Hashem to take him away from the world. It's not against the halacha. The raya is from where? Who knows in the Shas? Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, after he lost all his sons, 11 sons, could be a bigger tragedy than that. In our days, in this generation, only the Klosenberg Rebbe had a nisayon like Rabbi Yochanan, which actually it makes it even harder because in our days, compared to the time of Rabbi Yochanan, it's not Hador Olech Vepochet. There's nothing. We are not in the same level. So he had a bigger nisayon even, but plus the Holocaust and what he went through. But Rabbi Yochanan, the Chachamim gathered together to pray that Hashem will take him away. Why? Because Chevruta or Mituta. He couldn't live anymore. After he lost his Chevruta, Rish Lakish, finished. You know, that reminds me that I always had this question. You know, Rabbi Yochanan was so big, that one day he comes to yeshiva, imagine he comes to a kollel, and you have a chevruta waiting for you, 9 o'clock after Shachris. You come in, you sit, and you're depressed. So your chevruta asks you, and you're supposed to be someone who finishes us, you know, you're talmid chacham, no? You mention in the shas, you're mechayem metim. If your name couldn't be mentioned in the shas. So if your name is there, doesn't matter your history, like Rish Lakish. Bottom line, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, mention, finished. Rabbi Yochanan was even greater. So what's going on? So one day he comes upset to the yeshiva. I ask him, what's happened? He said, I lost my wallet. People robbed me. Someone stole his money. So, you know, gangster on the street. So he couldn't learn. He's sitting there depressed. When you read this Gemara, what do you get here? Imagine now, any chassid you know from Borough Park, right here. Ask anyone on the street, excuse me, come here, Shloimi. Come here, Zalman. Come here, I want to ask you a question. What's the question? How long it will take you after you got robbed to open the Gemara and focus on the learning? How long? Okay, you lost $200, $300, you got robbed. No, better. Now you walk into the kollel, 10 minutes you're upset a little bit. You're starting to read Gemara, Rashi, Tosfot, you forgot about it, no? You finished, you remember again that you lost today $200. Rabbi Yochanan is less? What does it mean? He couldn't learn until Rish Lakish went to the street and he found who stole the money. He brought him the money, then he was able to learn. What's the pshat? The pshat was, this is the difference between us and them. When we lose something, or when we get robbed, or something that we own broken, we upset for losing the $100. We're not upset for the cause that caused us to lose it. We only eat our heart, now I have $200 less, and it bothers me. But really, that shouldn't be even a factor at all. Money comes, money goes, it's all in the hand of Hashem anyway, whatever he wants I'll have, with or without this loss. What we should focus on, why Hashem did this to me. And that was the difference. That he was eating his heart. Say, if Hashem made me lose this money, that means I'm either a gazlan, or a ganav, or either I took interest, or maybe I caused the damage to another yid with my Lashon Hara in his business. One of these things. Why you lose money? Or I'm not conducting business honestly, or maybe Chas v'Shalom, I did something in Shabbos after Plag HaMincha, maybe there's no bracha in it, so Hashem, had to be something wrong. That's why when he gave him back the money, he relaxed and he was able to learn. Why? Because he knew he was only a nisayon, that he wasn't really guilty of anything. So going back to what I started to say, so it says, why does it say Talmid Chacham en tocho kevaro? What does it mean en tocho kevaro? Varo means the outside, tocho means the inside. So what does it mean? It means it's not a hypocrite. It's not a tzavua. In modern Hebrew, they have a word, tzavua. What does it mean, tzavua? That someone paints you. It paints you, you don't see the rust underneath. It looks shiny and nice. But underneath, it's all rotten. That's called tzavua. That's why they made that expression, tzavua. Which means you don't see the real thing. You only see the shiny color, the glaze, but underneath is all rotten. So that's mean en tocho kevaro. From the outside, it looks beautiful, but the inside is all rotten. The question is, I ask, why they call it no talmid chacham? They should have said, it's not a tzaddik. It's not a chassid that the Ramchal is speaking about in Beur Midat HaChassidut. Every Jew has to learn at least 100 times in his life, at least, to know what does it mean to be a real chassid. You know, in the world today, there is Litvish, there's Hasidim, there's Faradim, there's this and this and that. But sometimes the names have nothing to do with what the Torah speaks about. If you read the Ramchal, how many Hasidim we have in a generation? 1 million? 5 minyanim? According to the requirement, as the Ramchal brings in Mesilat Yesharim, the requirements. Most of the things we do today, it's a lot of maritime. We worry about maritime. You know, Rabbi Yochanan, before he passed away, he gave a bracha to his Talmidim. יהי רצון שיהיה עליכם מורה שמיים כמורה בני אדם. I always thought to myself, that's an insult, that's not a bracha. If your Rebbe, before he leaves the world, you come to visit him in a hospital, and he say, I wish you're afraid from Hashem, that you're afraid from the policeman on the highway. What would you say? Couldn't find a better bracha for me, Rebbe? You know, that I should be Talmid Chacham, Yerei Shamayim, Parnasa, health. The children will be Talmidei Chachamim. Shalom Bayit, there's a lot of better brachot. You should fear Hashem that you fear Bnei Adam, people. But one time I got pulled over 2 o'clock in the middle of the night on the way to Monsi on the Palisades. You know, these policemen, they just think they caught Bin Laden. The way they come with the guns. You know, wow, Dag Shamen we caught. I have his license registration. I started to feel, I drove very fast. Very tired late at night to get home. I felt that my hands is shaking, cannot grab the papers from the glove compartment. I felt that, you know, you have no control on your hands. And the heart, you know, and get nervous. Who knows, maybe they arrest you because you drove too fast. They have rules over there in New Jersey. I give him the papers. After these 5 minutes, he gave me the ticket, whatever it was. Said there are 5 minutes in the car. All of a sudden, I remember this Gemara. I said, now I understand what Rabbi Yochanan meant. If I ever felt like this in one of my sins in my life, Dayenu, one time and by mistake, Mechalel Shabbos, or by mistake, Yisrael Lashon Hara, and you regret a minute later, or you look at something you're not supposed to look, or who knows what, or you ate something that later was found not 100% kosher, did you ever feel this heartbeat and the hands is shaking and you're about to get a heart attack? I don't remember it happened to me. But don't. When does a person feel like this? When they're about to expose him. When he's about to be published, then he feels his blood is freezing. But the truth is that everything will be exposed. It's just a matter of time. This olam hazeh keheref ayin, Chazal say. Heref ayin. Heref means it comes from the word Rafu Yedehem, Birfidim, Rafu Yedehem. Rafu means Nirpe, Nirpe, like Paro say, Nirpim Atem. What does it mean, Nirpim? Means have no energy. You rest. you like to rest. Lazy. You like to rest like the lion in the Bronx Zoo, how he lay over there for 20 years, doesn't move from there. That's how some people are. They want all day to lay to do nothing. So that's called nirpe. So the point is, what does it mean, herifying? That every 6-7 seconds, the eye of a person has a tenth of a second that it's the muscle relax. It gets rest, but very, very short rest. So while the muscle is resting, that tenth of a second, automatically the eye closes, and right away the muscle works again and it opens. So by giving rest to the muscle, because if you hold something, 1 minute you can hold it. After 2 minutes, your arms hurt. After 5 minutes, you're dying from the pain. You cannot hold it. I mean, your hands is about to be numb. So the longer you wait, the longer you hold, the longer you suffer, and then the suffering becomes higher and higher. Same thing the eye. That second that the eye close and open, it's also windshield wipers. It saves you from the dust, from all the dirt. So Hashem killed 2 birds with 1 stone. He needs to give the muscle rest. All muscles need rest. You cannot walk on a muscle nonstop. And while he gives the muscle a rest, he also cleans the eyes, that a person will be able to function, because otherwise, if all the dust in the air, then a person will not be able to see. And then he'll be able to close his eyes even for longer, and Chas V'Shalom can go into an accident when he drives. So the answer is like this. Why Talmid Chacham She'en Tocho Kevaro and not Talmid Chacham? Because the Torah of a person like this will not be Mitkayem Bo. Now let me give you another Gemara and we connect both of them together. We all know the famous Gemara, 2.5 years, Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel argue, Im Tov Lo La'adam Sheba La'olam, O No, Basof Manu Ve'Gamru, She Tov Lo She'lo Haya Ba La'olam. Achshav Sheba La'olam, Yefashfesh Be'Ma'asav, Yesh Omrim Yemashmesh Be'Ma'asav. I'm sure you heard this Gemara at least 100 times. The question that I want to ask you, is it possible that the Chachamim, that each one of them is maybe like 1,000 today in his level, multiplied by hundreds of them, the whole Yeshiva of Shammai, the whole Yeshiva of Hillel, Mechaye Metim, such Gdolei HaTanaim, right? They're arguing about something like this that none of us would dare to even say on his lips. It's 2 possibilities here. Lichora, don't get nervous. Lichora, it's either the biggest chutzpah in history or the biggest foolishness in history. Lichora, when you read it, Dvarim Kipshutam, anybody has permission to come and debate if Hashem did something right or wrong? How can this argument begin, Bechlal? What does it mean, if Tov Lo La'adam Shebara, if Hashem does something, Kol Man De'Avid Rachmana La'Tav Avid, every little kid knows it. So why the Gdolei HaChachamim? And not 2.5 hours. 2.5 years, which means they went back and forth, this argument just did not end. Until they finally came to the conclusion, not the one we would come to. Of course, it's Tov Lo Shel Adam. Why? It cannot be that Hashem does something that is not good for us. Yeah. So in the end, they come with the opposite conclusion. It would be better off Tov Lo Shel Lo Ba La'olam. Aval achshav, you got stuck. Oili mi yitzri, oili mi yotzri. You stuck here. Be'al korchecha ata ba la'olam. Be'al korchecha ata atid liten din v'cheshbon. So you're stuck, you might as well get something out of it. They force you to walk today. You don't want to walk. They force you. You're afraid the person is forcing you. But he's going to pay you something if you do it correctly. So since you don't want to be here, but you're here, you might as well make some money. What's the point? Sitting and doing nothing? This is the way it sounds in a pshat. Well, that's not what they meant. Of course, they never had a Ava Amina to even argue if Hashem knows what he's doing or not. Of course not. What's the real argument here? Im tov, tov lo, not if it's correct or not. Of course, it's there. The best thing that can happen to you, that Hashem gave you another chance to come in Gilgul again. Maybe this time you'll do things better. But that wasn't the argument, if Hashem knows what he's doing, if it's good for you. No. The argument when they say tov means, is it pleasant? Is it something you enjoy? The answer, no. You don't enjoy it. Who wants to start the test all over from the beginning? Nobody wants it. If a person could press a button and go to Gan Eden, would rather do it. Why would she want to come to this world? So that means that Adam la'amal yulad. A person came to this world not to eat and drink achol v'shato ki machar namut. You have no choice. You have to work. If you're not going to work, Hashem will force the work on you. They say on Mitishrei Atishrei, it says like this, that Hashem decides how much Yisurim the person would have every year. This is one of the decisions he makes on Rosh Hashanah. So let's say Hashem decided that Ploni Almoni will get 5 kilo of Yisurim. 5 kilo. He knows how to translate each Yisurim to how much the weight of it. 1 pound, 5 pounds, 2 pounds, Yisurim. You understand that if you got a little smack, it's no big deal. But if you broke your arm, 3-4 months you cannot move, it's a much bigger Yisurim. If you cannot find a quarter because you need to earn a payphone, so it's a much smaller Yisurim. Hashem knows how to calculate it, how much each Yisurim worth. We cannot do it. The Gemara say if you burn someone on his nail, how much would a person agree to pay not to get his burn? Suffering, when you have to pay suffering for damage that you did. How do you know how to evaluate suffering? So the answer is how much a person is willing to give not to receive the suffering. But it's also limited because one person is so spoiled and rich, even a little smack, he'll give you $1,000, leave me alone. And the other poor person that is not so spoiled, he say, you know what, I'll let you give me 10 punches if you give me $50 tip. no problem, give me more. You know this famous story that the guy found a Jew in a forest and was beating him up. So he said, the king passed by and the king saw it. So the king said, what are you doing? He said, I'm eating him. He's a Jew, what do you care? So the king said, I don't understand. What, one citizen in my country hit another citizen? What is it, racism? No, lo yakum ve lo yeh, arrest him. So they arrested the person, they brought him to the palace there. Now the king said to his doctor, take care of this wounded Jew. Once he feels good, we'll do a trial to this person. After a few days, now he makes the trial, and he said, how many times do you think you hit him? He was afraid, maybe the king was there all alone. So he said, about 100 times. So he said, okay, for every time you hit him, you have to give him 1,000 rubles. So he said, okay, whatever the king say, I'll do. So the Jew started to cry. Started to cry. So the king said to him, why, I wasn't a fair judge? He said, no, your majesty, you're a very, very fair judge. You're a righteous king. So he said, so what's the problem? He said, no, when he was hitting me, I was crying, I was resisting him, I was trying to hold the stick. If I knew that every time he hits me, it's 1,000 rubles, I would help him to do it faster. I wouldn't tell him, stop, I make so much money. So now I just realized how much I'm losing. All this time I resist and complain and cry for nothing, I was actually earning. You know, there's a Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim that has yeshiva for Litvish American boys. So they go to Yerushalayim to learn by him. One of the boys, his father is a gvir, famous gvir, and he sends a lot of checks to a lot of yeshivas. So every year, the Rosh Yeshiva sends a letter requesting donation from the father of this boy. And he's a well-known gvir, he gives to strangers, why wouldn't he give to his own son's yeshiva? The Rosh Yeshiva doesn't understand. Every year he sends a letter, no check. Next year, no check. 6 years like this. This is the deal. Okay. This Rosh Yeshiva, he flies economy. His wife, she comes to him, she says, I don't understand. You're Rosh Yeshiva Chashuv. Why don't you fly business class in the front of the plane? You have nice, you know, why should you go like a sardine? So he said to her, what, instead of $1,000 to fly to America, I'm going to pay $4,000 for 10 hours, $3,000 that can go to the Torah here. So she said, no, I disagree. It's covered the Torah. You're actually doing Chilul Hashem. When they see such an important Rosh Yeshiva sits in economy, people would disrespect the Torah. She's bringing points. She became Bruria. She has good points. So she comes, she drill in his head. You know how the drill? She dreams and dreams and dreams. So he said, okay, listen, how do I make Hashem happy for me? How do I help my yeshiva? And how do I make my wife happy all at the same time? So it looks like an impossible mission sometimes. So he said, you know what? Let me go to the El Al desk. Maybe they can upgrade me since I fly every month for free. So he came to the desk and he said to them, you know, I fly every month with you for years. Maybe you have an open seat in a business class that you can give me for free upgrade. She checked. She said, you know what, sir? You're right. You're a very good customer. Okay, we have, you're lucky. Here, change his ticket, business class for free. Sits in a business class, tamuru kitov, a business class. So now he got used to it. You know, regel nafach lekeva. Next time he comes right away with no hesitation. Maybe you can upgrade me, da 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 da. Yes, no problem. She gives him a third time. He can, it's a true story. Listen, what a Musar Haskell this story has in life. Third time he came, and he comes to the desk, they check, say, sir, the flight is packed, we're very sorry. Say, what's this? Every month I'm here. Come on, call the supervisor. He makes a whole thing over there. Supervisor, come, can I help you, sir? I fly with you for years every month. You always give me upgrade. Now you don't want to give me upgrade, what happened? Sir, what can we do? Everyone paid for those business class. Cannot get someone off the plane. Whatever he tried, now he gets on the plane, he goes through the business class. Somebody, Gvir, dressed nice, see right away, he got up. Kvod Harav, Shulem Alechem, who are you? I am the father of, let's make a name, Zilberstein. Zilberstein for my yeshiva? Yes. Oh, nice to meet you. So right away the father say, you're probably thinking, why you've been sending me letters for 6 years and I never send you a check. So the rabbi told him, of course, this is the first thing came to my mind. You help the whole world and your own son's yeshiva you don't help? So he told him, believe me, Rabbi, the first time you send the letter, right away I wrote you a check for $10,000. And it was ready to be mailed the next day. And then the check was on my desk. Another Rosh Yeshiva came to meet me. And he saw the check made out to your yeshiva. And he told me, if I would be you, I wouldn't send that yeshiva the check. So I asked him why. So he'd say, why? Do you want your money to go for Torah? Or you want your money to go for business class? So I said, what do you mean? He said, I saw in my own eyes twice this Rosh Yeshiva fly business class. This is where you want to give your business your money to? So right away I ripped the check. But now, in my own eyes, I see it's a lie. You're going into economy. Wait 1 minute. He pulled his checkbook, 6 years, $10,000 each year, $60,000 check, and he handed to him. He went inside. A minute ago it was Avel v'chafui rosh, and now kemotze shalal rav. So the question is, this is the mashal, what's the nimshal here? Sometimes a person get away with something, trick the government, extra $100 a month, all kinds of things, bonuses, let's call it. How do you know how much this bonus would cost you in the end? If he would not know, if he would get an upgrade, let's think, he got what he wanted. He would feel so great. Wow, I just sent $3,000. I'm flying business class for $1,000. So right away, I sent $3,000. He would feel great all week. It's like finding $3,000 on the street in his eyes. But he would never know that he would lose $300,000 over the years. 60 that day, and every year 10, 10, 10, probably he's getting until today, right? So he didn't know that the 3,000 cost him really 300,000. When will he find out? The Zohar says, בשעה שנפטר אדם מן העולם, נותנים לו רשות לראות את מה שלא ראתה אינו בחייו. He couldn't understand things in his life. Now Hashem will clarify everything for him. You know why he didn't get that? Because of that. You know why? So now everything will be the opposite of what he thought. He thought, I saved here, I got lucky here, I got this job, how lucky I am. And in the end, when Hashem will show him the results of his actions, he will basically realize that everything he thought is a profit, many of that was a pure loss. It just sometimes takes time to realize. I always tell people, they come to me after the lecture to cry. So right away they begin to cry. One is crying that after a month of dating, the girl didn't want him. So the shidduch fell apart. One, he had a business opportunity, they just informed him that he cannot get the job. One didn't get elected. One, they kicked him out of the shul. One, all kinds of things. So I always tell them right away, tell me, can you hold the Sefer Torah right now and do Shvua the Oraisda that what happened to you is bad? So he's thinking, to swear, mamash, like this? I say, no, I can't swear. So when Yosef was thrown into the bowl, he also looked like his life is over. He will never see his parents anymore. He will never see his family. His family hate him, become a servant in a filthy country. They take him to be a slave, a yid, bachur, yeshiva, 17 years old, his life is over. But if he only knew that moment, that is a preparation of his kingdom, it's now the process began, he would be ever worried? You know, there's a famous chazal, Rashi writes, that the Arabs usually carry oil. But that day they carry perfume, like rose water. That's the perfume of those days. Why? Shelo yitztaer ha-tzadik. The tzadik won't be upset. One time when I read it, I had an idea in my mind. I said, imagine a person going in a yellow cab, and he gets on the yellow cab, and the police pull him over, they put handcuffs on his hand, lo alenu, they put him in the back of the police car, and there's bad smell in the car. So the policeman stopped now. He said, okay, let me, you know those things that they buy, they put on a mirror that gives a little good smell, like the bathroom smells like rose, whatever. So now the policeman say, here, that you won't suffer from the smell in the car. He's taking him for 30 years in prison now. His life is over. So now he put something that for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, it will be a good smell in the car. This is not only not any help, that's even more depressing for the prisoner. Why? Because the last thing on his mind right now, the last thing on his mind is what? To smell if it's perfume or if it's oil. His life is over. He's thinking, will I ever see my father ever again? It wasn't like today. You call, hey, Abba, I'm in jail in India. Come help me. People get, there are Jews in jails almost all over the world. But at least they have once in a while, they can call, they can talk, they know who was born, who is not, who is alive, something. Situation was critical. So now, Rashi writes, Shelo yitztaer ha-tzadik. It's like kosot ruach lemet. You know, when a person is dead, you know what kosot ruach. They supposedly take the air out of the back. People who have back pain, they have glasses, and they put a fire inside. The fire takes the oxygen. And it makes all kinds of round circles on the back. It's never been proven that it ever helped. It's all a myth, a theory that the Chinese invented. But in reality, no one can ever report that it really took away the pain. But this billion-dollar industry around this nonsense. Anyway, it's like kosot ruach lemet. When a person is dead, you do this to him. Imagine someone is dead, and they come and they say, let's do a plastic surgery on his face. So why? That when we bury him, he would look better than what he looked before. What would happen to that doctor? Put him in a mental house right away. So what, you're normal? Soon the worms would eat him up. You carry about how he looks or not? What's going on here? You know, the Noda B'Yehuda, one time there was a funeral of a Rasha, somebody Rasha from the town. So he came with a razor. In the middle of the funeral, he shaved him. He was in the hospital a week before he died, so he grew a little beard. So he came right away with some foam, he put, and he shaved his face. So all the family, so what are you doing, Rabbi? What are you, when you're shaving him now before we bury him. So they got very angry. The chief rabbi is shaving the father of the family like this in front of all the guests. So they started to scream, what is this? This is Chilul Hashem, Bizayon Hamet. All of a sudden they know what to say. So he said to them, I don't understand. 30 years I was telling him, you're not allowed to shave with a razor. He didn't care about one time what I said. The only time now that he shaved according to the Torah, it's not in Avera, you're all screaming. Where were you 30 years when he shaved every day like this? You never screamed. Now when he's allowed to be shaved, you're all screaming. It was a message for the community. So we'll finish with that. So what is it helping Yosef that now it's going to be some good perfume over there? The answer is, and this is a message for us, when Hashem he gave us the smack, it's always first, like the Gemara say, when Hashem hits the Goyim, no medicine is ready for them yet. When he hits the Jews, before the problem comes, the trufa, the refua is ready. But not only that, this is what we say in Baruch Sha'amar every day. Baruch Sha'amar v'ya olam, Baruch gozer umkayem. There's two things. First, he makdim trufa l'makah. The medicine is ready before the sickness comes. But medicine is one thing, but the suffering is still going on. No. Now for the suffering, gozer umkayem. He gives the person the strength to hold it. So Hashem wanted to show Yosef, I want you to know nothing here is coincidence. Yes, going to Egypt, it looks like very bad days. But you see that it's all supervised. It's no coincidence. That when I don't want one thing, it won't happen. I'm sending you a message right now, there is a light. Just wait and see. You only get the exact suffering you need to get, not more than that. Why? Because there's already a nest. What's the nest? The Arabs never bring perfume. They always bring oil. One thing you all forgot about it, there's one thing we forgot about, is the Maharil Midiskin. He went to visit his aunt, and she said, give me a bracha that I live long life. So he asked her, why you want to live long life? So she said, once every 2 weeks, the nurse come and clean the bag. She take the old bag and she put new bag. And the smell goes away from the room. And I have 2 hours to take my tehillim out of under my pillow and read and praise Hashem. And you asking me why I want to live long life? 2 hours, twice a month, 4 hours a month. 29.9% of the 29 days and 99% of the other, on 90% of the other day, almost the whole month. 4 hours. What's 4 hours? 4 hours a month. 4 hours she has an opportunity to pray to Hashem, and she wants to live long life in all this suffering for the 4 hours. And today, sometimes you come to the wives, read some tehillim instead of shopping on 13th Avenue all day. Read some tehillim. No, it's hard for me. Very difficult. I don't have time. I'm a very busy woman. When you really look at their life, the kids are in yeshiva, the husband is in kollel or at work. She has plenty of time. If you really take magnifying glass and check her schedule, she has time every day to finish one tehillim, a whole sefer, or maybe two. She has. But it's fun to go here, to go there, to meet people, to, you know. That's the new society today. Like the Chilonim call it, levalot. Levalot comes from the word blai. What does it mean, blai? Blai means if you take a leather couch, every time someone sits on it, it takes a little bit away from the quality. 99.9, 99.8, 99.5. 10 years later, it's all ripped. Same thing the roads. It's called blai. Car, as soon as you start it, it begins to die. That's called blai. Levalot. No coincidence how Hashem gave them an idea to call their life Biluim, which means we are busy destroying our eternity, but we sometimes just as bad. That's the problem. We, Rav Ben Zion, Abba Shaul said in a Shiur Musar, in a Porat Yosef, in Yerushalayim, this is what he said, word by word. He said, כולם כאן, איפה אני, חושבים שהצרות שבאות לעם ישראל זה בגלל החילונים. That all the problems who comes to the nation of Israel, Arabs, war, inflation, economy, problem, cancer, so many problems. It's all because 70-80% are not Shomer Shabbos and do all kinds of other averos. I say to you, almost everything comes to us because of us. Why? From them Hashem doesn't expect anything. You know where they come from and he knows their level of knowledge. How do they know? Ask them what you live for, he has no idea. Ask him what Shulchan Aruch means, he say cookbook. Ask him who was Rabbi Akiva, he say something to do with Lag BaOmer. They don't know anything. I meet them all the time, I see what they know. They know nothing. So what, someone who doesn't know anything is in a level of 1-year-old baby. A 1-year-old baby turned the light on Shabbos. Hashem expects something from him. Will he punish him? No. Is he a Rasha? No. Someone 20 years old, Hashem expects from him. He has a sechel. Someone who knows Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, Gemshas, Poskim, Gemara, Ksat Zohar, Sifrei Hasidut, Sifrei Musar, and behave like Behema. For that, Hashem gets very angry. It's no wonder it says in Shir HaShirim, Dodi Arad Legano Lilkot Shoshanim. One tzaddik who died is like 10,000 chilonim that die. You should know that. In a level. Take all their mitzvot that they do combined. One serious Talmid Chacham that amel b'Torah and is busy with chesed and teaching Torah. He has more mitzvot than all 10,000 of them combined. So that's what Hashem does sometimes. Take someone in this level instead of bringing us tragedies like he bring in other countries. By the goyim, when there's a big tragedy, it's big. 70,000, 500,000 in Thailand, 50,000, 20,000, even a small tragedy by them is a plane, 500 people. One time a plane crashed by us, Hashem made a chesed that there was only 3 people on the plane. El Al plane, with all the security, crashed into a building in Holland 20 years ago. Do you remember that in Amsterdam? It fell into a building, knocked down the building, killed many Dutch people. How many people were on a plane? 3 instead of 500 normally. 3. Imagine 500 hidden in one shot. So no matter what, if you really pay attention, there is a lot of little patches. But Hashem is holding. He gives it little by little. Why? Little tragedies at the time, person can still move on. One very big one, sometimes may take him 20 years to recuperate. So Bezrat Hashem, I want to finish, because I have to run, I have my lecture now. I want to finish, I want to wish everyone here, Bezrat Hashem, to finish many more masachtot, and that all of us, with no exception, will understand that Judaism is not external show. It's not external show. None of us will go to Gan Eden because of the size of the hat on how long the beard is. Because if we're going to have all the necessary customs outside and the inside will not be good, 1 hour of not being a tzaddik is already worse than 7 years not wearing the custom. That's what people don't get. There is ikar, there is tafel. 1 hour, mutav lo la'adam liot 70 shana shoteh. You know what shote means? He walks in the street and all the little cruel kids follow him, pull his chair, throwing things at him, laughing at him, he sleeps in the park, he has bags, everyone pointing him everywhere he go. Horrible life. 70 years to be like this, then 1 hour in Russia, in front of Hashem. 70 years. But, this, how you then, how you this, what's like this? All kinds of outside. It's important. The chitzoniyut mevia lidei pnimiyut. Of course, we know this. I didn't come to discover America here. But we forget the most important thing. We're very good with the things that are secondaries. But the most important thing, we're not so good. You know, I was just in Canada. The one who hosted me was an Atzala guy. He feels so great that he's an Atzala guy. So I said in a lecture, 1 million years you'll be in Atzala, guys, not one day of learning Torah. With all due respect. Yes, you run, you save bodies, fine. Gadol Talmud Torah yoter me'atzalat nefashot, period. End of story. Chazal knew there are people give their life to save life. They stay all night, they take people to give birth. They knew, but they didn't know what atzalat nefashot means. But Gadol Talmud Torah yoter. And if a person has to close the Gemara and run save his uncle that's about to die, he saved his life, he feels great. I saved life. You lost 3 hours of learning. Chafetz Chaim did a calculation. 1 hour of learning Torah, 60,000 mitzvot. You go, you save a person all day. You pick him from the home, you take him to the hospital, you read Tehillim for him. Wow, such a long mitzvah, 6-7 hours. You just lost hundreds of thousands of mitzvot of learning. You know what Rav Steinman say? I'll tell you what Rav Steinman say. I saw a contrast from Rav Steinman. They ask him, how do you have the energy to go from one country to another in your age? It was in his 90s when they made that contrast. I read it in my own eyes. Someone gave me this contrast, things that happened with Rav Steinman. I don't know how reliable it is, but I assume if they publish such a thing with his knowledge, it's supposed to be reliable. So you know what he says? By him, there's no lies like this. He said, I don't have koach lilmod, so I find excuses, so at least let me do zikui rabim. That's what he answered. If I had time to be a matzmid like I was when I was 50 or 60 or 40, what do you think, I would go from one country to another to give speeches? So he answered, it's an excuse! I cannot learn the way I learned! So I want to keep myself with something that is good. It's not going to be a matzmid in a Torah, better than sitting at home doing nothing. So I found myself an excuse to travel from one country to another. And when he went on a plane with Rav Shimon Glick, his private plane, they went above the Niagara Falls. So he said to him, Rabbi, come to the side of the plane, you see the Niagara Falls. What? Ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem, pile abriya. So he got up, he made 2 steps, and he stopped, and he turned around, and he went back to his seat. And the plane went a whole circle, specially for him to go lower. Said to the pilot, make it lower than you see from close. So he said, Rabbi, you don't want to see? So he said, when I got up, my intention was, I want to see, and you told me Pile Abriya, so I got up. But then when I started to think, why did I really get up? Did I get up to be impressed from Hashem? Or I got up out of curiosity? And I know, it's because of curiosity. Curiosity is Yetzer Hara. It wasn't Lashem Shamayim. He went back to see it. This is a person who thinks about every minute of his life. One time, 2 hours, his helper fixed the suitcase. Take things, try here, because they don't want to take too many suitcases. So he was looking at him from time to time. He said to him, you know, you just taught me a big message for life. How a person should plan his journey to Olam Haba. How the schedule should always be, not to have gap. Everything should be full. Even from something like this you can learn. Thank you very much. Thank you.